Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read in the Old Testament already, in the book of Psalms especially, how the saints of the Old Testament would sing of Christ's ascension. Psalm 24 that we read together and that we sang from Psalter 58. You find it also in Psalm 47 that we're going to sing a little later on in number 130. And also in number 179 that we just sang together now, based on Psalm 68. There seems to be more in the Old Testament about the ascension of the Lord Jesus than there is in the gospel records. All four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, wrote about Christ's suffering and death, but about the ascension, there's only a few words mentioned. That doesn't mean that it's less important. Because the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ is a continuation of his exaltation. In the 40 days after his resurrection, he has shown himself alive by many infallible proofs to many different people. He was speaking to his disciples of the things pertaining to the great kingdom of God. Before his passion, he told his disciples, "I am going to my Father. My work on earth here is nearly finished." So the ascension proclaims exaltation. And the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ has great meaning in heaven. It has great meaning on earth. And it has great meaning in hell. It has great meaning for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For the church here on this earth. All those who were given to the Lord Jesus Christ, because in his ascension, as part of his exaltation, Christ overcomes the devil and hell. Just before his ascension, he said to his disciples and to his whole church, "Unto me is given all power in heaven and on earth." That means not only power, but all authority is given to him. In that power. Now, the details of the ascension are mostly given by Luke, some in Luke 24, others in Acts chapter 1. Tonight we're going to look at Luke 24, verses 50 to 53. We take that as our text for Ascension Day. Luke 24, beginning at verse 50, this is the Word of God. "And he," that is Jesus, "led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. Our theme this evening is the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. First, the facts. The facts of the ascension. Jesus ascended into heaven close to Bethany. Children, you might remember, that's just a small village where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. It was on the east slope of the Mount of Olives. So Matthew 28 tells us the disciples went to a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Jesus had told them, "I will meet you there." And our text says, he led them out. And those are just four simple little words in Scripture, yet they're so full of meaning. It tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ leads his church. Jesus goes before his disciples, before his children. The Lord Jesus Christ is the guide and teacher of his children. With his word and spirit, he leads his church even today. Jesus guides, leads his church, and we as his disciples, we follow him. His name is Savior, Redeemer, Leader of his church. There's nothing which is not in his counsel. After everything, all power and authority is given to him. Everything is in his hands. His work continues, even though he's not physically here. He's still leading his people. And we as disciples follow him, trusting and obeying him. He led them out as far as to Bethany. You know, that leading work of the Lord Jesus Christ continues today. But it began way back. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, at first, was not a leader, but a follower. When he's born in Bethlehem, he is going the way where his father leads him. It was the way of his father, that way that would eventually lead to the cross, where he died an accursed death. The way of his father, where he would be put in a tomb, and where 3 days later he would rise again, after which he would ascend into heaven. So Jesus was following his father, where his father was leading him, and now he's leading his church. And the same way as Jesus followed his father's lead, so he wants us to follow where he leads. And he's always concerned about his church, that the church that must continue and will prosper in his hands. You know, in the way of humiliation, those steps of humiliation, he earned salvation. And he paid the price with his precious blood. In his exaltation, he begins to apply that salvation. And that means that all of salvation is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and only in his hands. Only he could merit salvation. Only he could apply salvation. Jesus leads them. He leads his church now. And because Jesus is leading his church today, there is hope for the future of the church. Now his work on earth is finished. He had foretold it to his disciples many times. And those disciples will be alone here on the earth. Christ will go to heaven. His work will continue. We know that he ever lives there to make intercession for his church. And from heaven, Christ will gather his church. He will lead us in the way. And that has such rich meaning for us, for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the year 2020. You ever notice that Ascension Day always falls on a Thursday? It has to, because it's 40 days after Easter Sunday. It will always be a Thursday, a regular work day, where we have our feet firmly on the ground here, where we live. And yet this is a feast day for the church, for all Christians, because on Ascension Day we see the Lord Jesus Christ departing from this world, yes, but entering into his glory. And that brings us great comfort that he ascended into heaven, especially in times like these, when there's so many somber forebodings for the church and Christianity. But the church is mocked and is not expected to survive. And you know, if we look only at circumstances, and if we look only at our own hearts, and if we only look at the condition of the church today, if we see nothing else but what happens in our hearts and in the world all around us and in the church itself, then we become despondent. And we become afraid that there's no future for the church. And indeed, if it were in our hands, there would be no future for the church. But our future is not in our own hands. Our future is in the hands of the resurrected and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. He led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and bless them. So you think about that. That means the church is under the blessing hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not the church that's headed for disaster. That cannot be. Not under his blessing hands. Before Jesus ascended, he blessed them, because he is that true great high priest. We heard of that a few weeks ago when we considered the name Christ, anointed. And we considered then that he was anointed to be our high priest. And I mentioned then on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies with his blood. And when his work was all finished, he came out and he blessed the people. And so now Christ, before his ascension, shows himself to be the only high priest. And he blessed them. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. You remember how his arms were on the cross, nailed to the cross, to the side. Not anymore. No, now he lifts up his hands and he blessed them. And he can do that because he paid the price. He emptied the cup of God's wrath. And after he rose from the dead, then, as the only high priest, he blessed them on the foundation of his finished work, the foundation of his blessed resurrection. And then we may see this evening those hands, those nail-pierced hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those hands that the Bible says are filled with rich gifts for men. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Isn't that amazing to read that in the Word of God? And then to think we have that symbolism. Every Lord's Day, at the close of the service, the representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, the pastor, lifts up his hands. And according to the Word of God, lays God's blessing on the people. Imagine the words that Jesus spoke when he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Those words are not recorded here. But just imagine it. The Lord bless you and keep you. And he's talking about himself. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Precious words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as he says those words, is actually blessing them. I am always with you. So here we have the picture of Christ above his church. The church is beneath his blessing hands, not his striking hands, his blessing hands. And the eyes of the church are on him. And we remember that Christ is always mindful of his church, always blessing us with his rich gifts. What a rich word of comfort. In these simple biblical words, we can find so much sin in our hearts yet. Even experienced children of God. And if we know the disciples, and most of us know our Bibles well enough to know that shortly before Christ's ascension, you read that some worshipped him, and some were filled with doubts and unbelief. There were also those of his disciples who were doubting if he was even really the Messiah. And yet it says here, he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And Christ knows we need him. We can do nothing without him. That's true for those who are of little faith. That's true for those who are of great faith. When Christ ascends, he does not leave us alone. He shows us his faithfulness. The entire church, as it were, is on his heart. And he blesses his church continually. And see here, the spirit in which Christ departed from them. And it's a sign of what he does and continues to do in heaven. With his hands raised, he ascended. He didn't lower those hands. Doesn't say that. I can only hold mine up for a little while. But Christ fully assumes his high priestly office. That gives us assurance that he is still blessing his people. Christ, as the great high priest, having offered himself, blessed his church with open hands. He gives us grace for grace and grace after grace. And he will always care for his church, whether we are in light or in darkness. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Psalm 68. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, so that the Lord God might dwell among them. Have you come to know yourself that way, beloved? As a rebellious man? Or a rebellious woman? Or a rebellious boy or girl? That then we can come to think at times that grace is not for me, because my sins are too many and my guilt is too great. But here the Word of God shows us Christ departing from his disciples while blessing them. He left them in the act of blessing them. It's the last thing he did on this earth. He placed them under his hands. He kept them under his blessing hands. That's his work as the high priest, to bless his people. And he does it on the foundation of his own merits. That's why he came to earth, to bless. And as his disciples' friend, he returns to his Father. He says to them, I call you my friends. And he is their full Savior. And he will bless his church with temporal and eternal blessings. What does the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you? Are you living still out of yourself? Still trying to work so hard, trying to make ends meet spiritually? Haven't you found out yet that you are nothing but sin and unworthiness and rebellion and enmity that's so strong? But he, beloved, is willing and able. And the disciples were made willing to follow and obey him. They had such a desperate need in their hearts for his blessing. And they were looking to receive something not from themselves, not from their own hands, but from his hand. Does your heart trust him? Christ's ascension has such great meaning in this world, because those same hands with which he lifted up and blessed him as he's entering into his glory continue to bless his church. Does your heart not long for his blessing and to know him? Why do we so often live so far away from him? Why is there often such doubt and powerful unbelief? Why are we seeking for comfort and hope and relief and light and strength and wisdom in ourselves? Here on the Mount of Olives, the Lord Jesus Christ stands with his uplifted hands, blessing them, it says. And that's the Christ we preach to you. The gospel of his work and the work of his gospel continues today with the church under his blessing hands. He led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And his blessing work continues. But it's so necessary to know it, to believe it, to see it, to trust in him. Believers, let us never forget, Christ's work continues. It's going on right now. He sends his Holy Spirit to bless the preaching of his word to our souls. And everything has its own time, his time. In the fullness of time, Christ came to earth. And now at his moment, he returns to his Father. That was decreed by God himself, this very moment. As he's blessing them, he's parted from them and carried up into heaven. It came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them. You know, it's so easy to overlook that little phrase, it came to pass. We sometimes just read it over really quickly. But whenever we read that in Scripture, it means it happened. Yes, that's what it means. But behind that is the hand of Almighty God. There is nothing that comes to pass that's not coming from His hand. In a dark and perishing world, every event is in His hand. The hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. COVID-19 came to pass because Christ holds the world in His hand. It is all in His counsel. And it comes with those words ringing in our ears while He blessed them. They're standing talking together, Jesus and His disciples. He gives them instructions. Then He lifts up His hand, and while He blessed them, He's carried up into heaven. And the distance between the disciples and their Jesus becomes greater and greater. And after some time, they could see Him no more. A cloud came between them. And Christ, it says in Acts chapter 1. What a great event this is, isn't it? A true thing that happened. But it's far above our understanding. How can a human body depart from earth and enter into heaven? We don't know. But that's where Christ is, in heaven, with His human body. And now the second step of the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ is complete. But He continues His work. That resurrection, that is the fact in Scripture, that has results and consequences. And we're going to take a look at those results after we sing number 183. Number 183 is based on Psalm 68, and it's called Ascension Blessings. O Lord, Thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. 183, all four verses. The results of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we think just right off the bat, the great result is heaven is opened again. You know that in paradise, when the Lord created man in His own image, heaven was open. Had free access, free communion with God. And then we fell. And God closed heaven. And communion with God was broken. And there was no way from our side that it would ever be fixed. The way was closed. The door was closed. It was impossible to return to God. But on Ascension Day, we may say, now this closed heaven door is reopened by Father in heaven. Psalm 24, the King of Glory enters in. And God the Father says, Amen to the work of Christ. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is finished, when He was on the cross, God and Father said, Amen. I accept this price. And on Ascension Day, there's a second Amen of God the Father on the work of Christ. All things are now finished. The eternal doors are open. And broken communion with God is restored. You remember when Christ died on the cross that the veil of the temple was rent. And that meant the mercy seat again is available. And the way is opened. And with Christ's ascension, he opens access to the throne of grace. There's only two involved in this opening of that door. God the Father as the judge, and there comes Christ with his blood. That life-giving blood. And that's what opened the door. He enters heaven. The door is open. The salvation of work. The salvation is the work of God alone. He opens that door. There's nothing from our side. And that's such a difficult lesson to learn. That's such a lifelong lesson to learn. That salvation is the work of alone of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'm afraid for myself, for maybe for you too, that so often we're just not satisfied with that. We're not trusting that Christ's work is finished. But Christ's ascension proves it. His work is complete. It is sufficient. Those disciples are standing there with their feet on the ground, and Christ has ascended through the open doors of heaven. And it wasn't because those disciples were praying so earnestly. It wasn't because they were longing so earnestly for that open door. No, it was only because of the obedience and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Christ. That's what unlocks the door. And you know, it's now so necessary for all of us is that we need to know this Christ and the power of his resurrection and his ascension, and to become one with him by faith. To have that communion with Christ and to live out of him. To know that heaven's door is open. When our work was to close that door. That's all we've ever done. Have you learned that by the Holy Spirit shedding light on his word? And we all do the same thing as Adam did. We flee away from God's presence. And on our own, because our own initiative, we will never return. But you see, when sin becomes a burden for us, and we see something of these mountains of enmity, and we feel the power, and what a burden it is to know that because of my sin, heaven is closed. And that door of hell is open since we are all in Adam. And Adam's damnation is my portion. And it's just as much my fault as it was his. And we can feel the heavy hand of God upon us. But tonight, we don't read about that heavy hand here, do we? No, we see and we hear that a door in heaven is opened. And it's not because of my tears, not because of my desires or my prayers or my works or my emotions. I can cry such deceitful tears. And I can have such deceitful desires that if it depended on me, heaven would still be closed. But now Christ came to heaven's door with his blood. And he has earned the opening of heaven's door. And that means you and I, we need to learn to die to self, to our own strength, our own wisdom, our own goodness. And as naked sinners, remain hopeless and helpless from our own side. And maybe someone is listening tonight whose heart is just broken, feeling so hopeless and helpless. Many years perhaps already trying to open heaven's door. But I hope that tonight you can see that it is his work to open heaven's door. And that he has opened it. And that there's now nothing between you and heaven Because Christ has opened the door. And the Father said to the Son, come in, my Son. And the Father is satisfied with the only work of the Lord Jesus Christ, so he can say to you too, come in, come to me, sinner. That's one result. Heaven's door is opened again for sinners. Another result is this. The disciples saw his ascension. They knew what happened. They saw it with their own eyes. And Christ had told them it would happen. And it all happened according to his word. And now under his blessing hands, they knew they were not alone. And then we read, and they worshipped him. That's a blessed result of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that his people worship him. Worship him means that we acknowledge him. We speak well of him. We praise him. Their knowledge of who he was became much clearer when he is ascending. It's going to become much clearer yet 10 days from now at Pentecost. But now they see that everything Jesus had told them was true. They see Jesus as he has revealed himself to them. And all their own opinions are taken away. Shortly before this, they're still mistaken. When Christ departed, they saw him as the King of Kings, the Son of God, the Messiah. Their darkness is taken away. They see their mediator, their Christ, their deliverer. They worshiped him. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. How do you explain this? Their master is gone. He's not with them anymore. And yet this is the only place in the Bible that you read that the disciples had great joy. How can it be? It's because they knew Jesus. Not just with their minds, but with their very souls. And they experienced something of his blessing. They not only see his hands, but they know the comfort and the blessing of faith in their hearts. And by faith, they embrace this Jesus who's departed from them. They're here growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that brings joy. Great joy, it says. You know, when our knowledge of Christ is little, our faith will be weak and it will not be so bright in our hearts. But as we study the Word of God, as we listen to sermons on Christ Jesus, and as the Holy Spirit shines his light on his Word and on his work, then Christ becomes everything to us. He truly becomes our all in all, and I am nothing at all. See, if the Lord Jesus Christ is in your heart by faith, if you embrace this King with love, then he is great and awesome and majestic, and his work continues. And I don't mind to become nothing. That's what the Apostle Paul says. We become nothing. That's the life of the church, beloved. Christ did not leave his disciples behind as orphans. He promised them that. They worshipped him. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. No, he's not physically present with them anymore, but he is through the indwelling Holy Spirit. And here they're walking in his light and walking in his strength. And there's communion with Christ by faith, even though they can't see him anymore. They're learning to live by faith and not by sight. That's so difficult for us, isn't it? It's so hard not to lean on our own feelings and to simply cling to the words of Christ alone. But here there's gladness, great joy, because the veil has been removed from their eyes and the darkness has passed away. For so long they had looked at Jesus as an earthly king. That's what they wanted. And now that king has passed into heaven, and their darkness passed away, and they walk in the presence of his light. I don't know about you, but these days I don't often hear God's people speaking with joy. Why is that? Why is there so much talk about the darkness and the barrenness and the unfruitfulness and the tears and the sorrow? Why is that? Do we live so far away from Christ that he is a stranger to us? That's what will happen if we're always thinking of our own hearts and always digging in our own hearts. But let us trust Christ and believe what he has told us, what he will yet do for us. That low level of joy arises from a lack of growth in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to be in the Word. We need to be studying this Christ. We need to be digging into the Word of God, learning everything we can about him. The disciples, you know, when Jesus used to tell them about his coming suffering, they would often be afraid. And it would be dark for them and cold because they didn't believe Jesus. When he added to that, "But 3 days later I'm going to rise from the dead," all they heard is, "He's going to die." No wonder they were afraid. No wonder it was dark and cold. No wonder he had to say to them earlier in Luke 24, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And is Jesus perhaps saying that to some of us this evening? "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." You see, when we are always looking at ourselves, then you're looking in the wrong place. Christ is in heaven. Hear it again. Christ ascended, King forever. All power is given to him. He promises, "I am with you always." So who is Christ for you? Are you looking to him alone for his grace? Maybe somebody says, "But I can't find him. He's hiding. It seems so hopeless for me." But then tonight, beloved, just look then with your eyes of faith and see his blessing hands while he ascends. That's the work he's doing. Working always for the whole church, for each of his disciples. And yes, as it says in Psalm 68, verse 18, yes, for the rebellious also. That means there's hope for all of us. They worshiped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. That's that worshiping with great joy. Praising and blessing God. They were continually in the temple. You know, that the temple in Jerusalem, that was the place where the Lord would meet with his people. That's what it symbolized. For us, that place is the church. Here. I know right now we can't all be here. The Lord knows that too. But the Lord promises to reveal himself to his church, in his church. And he shows us that the door of heaven is opened. And the gospel opens that door. And also when it's so dark in your heart that it's impossible to believe, and you're burdened with sin, this is still the best place to be. Because in this place, under the preaching of the Word of God, we receive rich gifts. Rich gifts for rebellious people. Because from this place, we may proclaim grace. Grace for lost sinners. Hope for hopeless cases. Help for helpless people. Why can we do that? Because Christ is ascended. He's always praying at the right hand of His Father. And His hands are still blessing. They were continually in the temple. Doing what? Praising and blessing God. What about us? No, we can't be here 24/7. We can't be here at all, actually. But when the doors reopen, and I'm sure they will someday, when the doors reopen, and we have opportunity to be here in the public worship service, will we be here? Continually in the house of God. And what will we be doing here? Praising and blessing God. Hallelujah. We may shout it together. You see, the blessed results of Christ's ascension. Heaven's door is open. That is good news, my friend. Have you fled for refuge to the throne of grace of an opened heaven? And have you come to rest completely in the finished work of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ? Today, you too may share in the blessed results of Christ's sacrifice. Heaven's door is opened while the disciples were and are still on earth. Also the disciples in this congregation. And we already, beloved, we may have little foretastes of heaven. Sweet communion with our Lord in the preaching of the gospel and in the administration of Christ's sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Oh, let's pray earnestly that we may soon come back here and enjoy those blessings again, once again. But let's not forget that in heaven, there is no COVID. No, sir. There will be nothing to prevent our public worship. You see, the results of Christ's ascension in His disciples, that's where the result is mainly shown. They returned with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord God, Almighty, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, what amazing facts we hear this evening. That our Lord Jesus Christ, as He was blessing His disciples, ascended into heaven. And Lord, we see the results of that, that heaven's door is opened once again for sinners like us. We see the results in Thy disciples, Lord, as they return to Jerusalem with great joy. And we're continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Lord, we pray that all Thy people in this church may show these blessed results today and in the coming days. And, oh Lord, we pray that You would hasten the day when the doors of this church may be open again, and we all may be received here once more, so that we may be here praising God and blessing God, worshiping with great joy. But Lord, we pray especially that you would hasten the day that the Lord Jesus Christ returns and takes us to our eternal home in heaven, where there will be no more interruptions, no cancellations, no postponements. Lord, bless us, we pray. Increase our faith. Lord, we pray for the two elders who will be leading the worship services on Sunday. Lord, remember these dear brothers, and we pray that the sermons that they have chosen would be a great blessing to all of us. And bless my few days of rest, Lord, that it may lead to restored zeal and energy, and that we may come back again at the appointed time. Lord, we pray for thy blessing. Keep us from sin and forgive our many, many sins. Blot them out, we pray, in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is now ascended on high. Amen.